Well, as Dolores mentioned, there were many, many layers of U.S. history taking place today in Washington. Another one is that while taking the oath of office this morning, the president laid his hand on two Bibles. One was owned by Abraham Lincoln. The other belonged to Martin Luther King Jr. Those two men and their legacies loomed large over this inauguration. President Obama acknowledged them directly in his speech. First, in 1865, during his second inaugural, Lincoln pledged to see the Civil War through to its end. He said, quote, "Until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another drawn with the sword." That was Lincoln, and today Obama echoed those words.
"Through blood drawn by lash and blood drawn by sword, we learned that no union founded on the principles of liberty and equality could survive half slave and half free. We made ourselves anew and vowed to move forward together."
Obama went on to acknowledge that it was, of course, on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial that Martin Luther King Jr. gave his historic 1963 I Have a Dream speech.
"Just as it guided all those men and women, sung and unsung, who left footprints along this great mall, to hear a preacher say that we cannot walk alone, to hear a king proclaim that our individual freedom is inextricably bound to the freedom of every soul on earth. It is now our generation's task to carry on what those pioneers began."
Jonathan Walton is a professor of religion and society at Harvard's Divinity School. This morning, he delivered the keynote address for Boston's 43rd annual Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Breakfast. And we spoke with him earlier today. Professor Walton, welcome to Radio Boston.
It's great to be here with you.
First, let me start by asking you, do you see today's inauguration of President Obama, his second inauguration, as part of a continuum of history and American politics and culture that Dr. Martin Luther King was also on? Are they on the same continuum?
Well, I don't know if they're on the same continuum. I think that it is a beautiful symbolic moment, the second inauguration of the first African-American president. And obviously that marks great progress that America has made toward racial justice, that the majority of American citizens would feel comfortable voting for an African-American. But I do not believe that we should necessarily conflate King's moral and ethical vision for American society, which was a moral orientation, with simple racial representation.
What do you mean by that?
The wonderful thing about Martin Luther King's mature moral framework was the fact that across color lines, across religious lines, across racial lines, it was about the core principles of his commitment, right? And it was defeating militarism, racism, classism. And King stands in a prophetic tradition of the Hebrew prophets, of those who stood outside the gates of power and prestige and spoke truth to power in love. Barack Obama, on the other hand, stands within the halls of power as the leader of the free world. And so to think of them as in terms of the same tradition, I think, is a little misguided.
Well, this is very interesting because, as people might remember, of course, Dr. King, in one of his most famous marches, it was a march for jobs and justice, right? So I take your point about there being a larger goal here. But also, I mean, as you note, President Obama stands in the halls of power. He's at the forefront of that. This is exactly one of the points that I think some of even the president's most fervent supporters might critique him, that he actually hasn't really focused as much as he could on issues of poverty, for example.
Well, that's why it's incumbent upon us to continue to press the president, to continue to hold his administration accountable. And unfortunately, too many have confused this sort of holding a president accountable with just blind criticism and critique. And in this kind of hyper-partisan environment that we live in, I can understand why. But again, speaking truth to power in love, that's a very different tradition. And I think we honor King when we hold the president accountable to a higher standard.
Well, I wonder if you could give us some specifics, like how exactly would you want people to do that? Or how do you think President Obama could take steps forward that you think do fall in line with what Dr. King was preaching?
Well, let's talk about gross economic inequality in this nation. Over the past 20 years, the top 1%, their incomes have grown at a rate of 33%, while the bottom 90% incomes have remained stagnant. And that's been whether we've had a Republican or Democratic president. So clearly, there are some structural faults in the framework of America's economic or political economy that we have to be attentive to. If we're honest, whether you're talking about George Bush, whether you're talking about Mitt Romney, whether you're talking about Barack Obama, the leaders of both national parties have refused to really acknowledge the plight of the poor in this nation.
Hmm. In Dr. King's time, he was viewed by many people in power as a very dangerous person because he was trying to change not just the racial, but the social and economic trajectories of this country. Do you think that by effectively sanitizing the more revolutionary parts of his message, that his true power has also been diminished?
Well, that is why I think that it's important for us to use the King holiday more appropriately. So many of us, you're right, we have sanitized, we have sterilized King's message, we have largely reduced him to a colorblind dreamer. And so it's hard to distinguish between Martin Luther King Jr., the prophetic visionary of justice, and a kind of, can we all just get along, Rodney King? And that's not what King stood for. And so therefore, it's incumbent upon us to take this responsibility to teach about the Martin Luther King Jr. that doesn't necessarily make us feel comfortable. Yes, he was Time Person of the Year in 1964, but when he moved from civil rights to human rights, when he moved from chiding Southern politicians about desegregation to talking about income inequality and distribution, he became regarded by J. Edgar Hoover as the most dangerous man in America. And it's that dangerous man that actually gave the most clear and consistent moral vision for a just society and a global village.
And it's a Bible owned by that, quote, dangerous man and former President Abraham Lincoln. Those two Bibles are the ones that President Obama placed his hand on today as he took the oath of office for the second time. So given the complexities of this man who's the leader of the United States of America today, if you had the chance to speak with President Obama directly, what would you tell him you'd like to see for his next and final 4 years in office?
Well, I would have to say that I would like to see more moral courage. And I would also like to see being open and availing himself to some of the progressive voices from the left that are offering the challenge to him. Abraham Lincoln didn't begin in this kind of greatness, but he availed himself to the messages of the Grimke sisters and William Lloyd Garrison and Frederick Douglass. It's these abolitionists that pushed him. In the same way, Lyndon Johnson, it was his being open and availing himself to the critique of persons like Martin Luther King Jr. and Fannie Lou Hamer that actually challenged him. And so to simply, if President Obama simply wants to frame and then dismiss those critics from the left as simply those who are not willing to get on board or those who don't understand what he's trying to do and those who stand in opposition to him, then he's missing his opportunity to move from being a transactional president to a real transformative president.
Jonathan Walton is a professor and social ethicist from Harvard's Divinity School, and he delivered the keynote address at Boston's 43rd annual Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Breakfast today. Professor Walton, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
A little later this hour, the poetry of the inauguration. But up next, one woman's year-long experiment with beauty. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.